this. I'm going to share with you just before we have lunch the legal and regulatory guidance specific to WA. So before I was talking about the thinking stuff, which was what's in the best interest of the kid, what's reasonable, proportionate and necessary. They are the things that help guide our thinking. Let's look now at legal guidance. Now, to keep you going right through to lunch, I'm going to ask you to construct with me a graphic organiser. We're going to draw it together. I need to do that. I've been counting the number of yours per minute. I'm doing okay. It is a Friday, but I acknowledge that I need to really present in a way that actually not only captures people's attention, but really serves where you're at. So we're going to draw and develop a graphic organiser as we go. Let's have a talk about what this graphic organiser is about. I'd like you to draw an inverted triangle, as that is there. Then what I'd like you to draw is a cross either side of the apex of that triangle right there. Because we're going to talk about what's all that information in between that we need. And it's a different slide deck. Oh, come on. Alrighty, so here we go. So now what we're looking at is what is the legal and guidance that we have in that circumstance. Well, first of all, let's give some context here. That cross on this side is you. That cross on this side is the student that you're working with. This here, that triangle, represents the thin slice of life, all the relevant information that you are bringing to that point to work with that student from a contextual point of view. Let's put a rectangle around both of those crosses here so we can see what that context is. You are in that context. That is your professional space. Let's now bring in what we have here. Here's the first one. The tip here, right at that part of the triangle, we're going to call that the you part. What are you bringing into this space here? Now, we all know, people, that the you that they bring in is very strong. In other words, on the basis of the qualities that they bring in, they can serve to de-escalate that young person and move that situation to safer outcomes. What are some variables around the you bit? Well, first of all, it's the healthy relationship you have with the young person. Next, it's you certainly bring your age, you bring your gender, you bring a whole range of professional experiences and qualities here into that space. Indeed, the values exercise we did before, where we spoke about how would we want our loved ones to support, much of those qualities you would express here are the yous that we bring in. Do we bring in empathy? Do we bring in understanding? Do we bring in how we communicate? All of those things. There's so much that we bring into that context. There's another layer that you automatically bring into that context, and that is the context of your school. That's the next layer up. So let's look at school. What's the school-based information? Well, here is the context that you're working within, the school culture. Here it's the policies. Here it's the teamwork. Here it's the relationship with other staff. Here it's the connectivity between the policies and then the action. How does it all work together? Some environments, that works very, very well. Strong bonded teams, clear messages, clear protocols. Indeed, PBS, school-wide PBS, is all about organising the school, making clear the expectations, making clear what the actions are, and putting this into that space there. This bit here is your world. You know that well. You know what you bring. You know what professional skills you bring in context. You know what the school brings, and you are quite expert in what the ways of the school are. Let's talk about where things go upwards from there, because that's where things get less well known. Here's the bit that we'll have a look at. Let's start at the very top. Let's call this the law. So now, the law applies to all elements of the community. Here is, and what we're looking at is the WA Criminal Code here. We're looking at two elements of the WA Criminal Code. One is section 222, the other is section 257. Let's look at 222. This is the community standard. A person who strikes, touches, moves, or otherwise applies force of any kind to the person of another either directly or indirectly without his consent or by with his consent if the consent is obtained by fraud or by whom any bodily act or gesture attempts or threatens to apply force of any kind to the person of another without his consent under such circumstances that the person making the attempt or threat has actually or apparently a present ability to effect his purpose is said to assault that other person and the act is called an assault. So if we look at, let's break that definition down just a little bit. A person who strikes, touches, moves, or otherwise applies force of any kind to the person of another. There's a little bit of an issue there for us, because the course that we're looking at looks at physical intervention where we're actually applying force to the person of another. So we actually, in some regards, breach that standard. So, but that part of the law, it's well understood. I very much like the 16-year-old's version of that. It's much more succinct. You can't think of top of it. It sums it up in way less words. But in essence, the basis of it is quite correct. Yeah, we have a right not to be touched. We have a right not to be struck, touched, moved, or otherwise had force applied to us. Now, we have that right. What does that right mean to a 4-year-old? What does that right mean to a 17-year-old that might be endangering someone else? Let's see where we now sit, because if that were the only law we operated under, clearly there would be no tentative course. Teaching would be very, very different, because that element would not sit there in terms of where we sit. Section 257 is less well known, discipline of the child. I will read it again. It's lawful for a parent or a person in the place of a parent or for a schoolmaster to use by way of correction towards a child or pupil under his care such force as is reasonable under the circumstances. That's interesting. Now this, let's have a look at where this sits. First of all, I know we can see that bit underneath there about when it was amended. That law was first written in 1913. So in 1913, it was recognised that while one standard exists around assault and the application of force in that regard, what about those that exercise care over the child? What does that mean? Brief bit of deconstruction. Lawful for a parent or a person in the place of a parent or for a schoolmaster, hence the language around that. All of the policies of the department are consistent with the principal will. In fact, if you read the student behaviour policy, it says the principal will, the principal will. Now, that's not inventing a to-do list for the principal. It's making clear that the principal is responsible for setting up policies and practices through which you exercise your duty of care. That's what that means. And your exercise of duty of care, in essence, is linked to the principal, who is linked upwards to the minister in regards to the expression of that duty of care. Likewise, the EAs that you work with have a duty of care, somewhat less than yours, but still consistent with what does that mean. So that's where you sit from a lawful basis. Does it help you? Well, it helps you in that you know that you're working on a legal basis. In that sense, but let's take it one step further. So I'm going to put 257 over here because that's an interesting bit. The next layer we're going to have here is called Acts of Parliament. So that's our next layer underneath law. Of course, it is part of law. It should be the same. It sits within the same space. What is Parliament? Parliament, of course, elected members that pass law for people within the community. One of the bits of law that they passed back in 99 and 2000 was the Education Act. So you were consistent within the Education Act. Now, Education Act and Regulations. So we're going to call that the Education Act and Regulations. I think the Act 1999, the Regulations 2000. One of the regulations within this law that we're going to look at is called Regulation 38. So Regulation 38 is not actually part of the Education Department, it's part of the legal basis. that sits within that frame. Let's look at what Regulation 38 says over here. Now, here is my statement to you. Have a copy of Regulation 38. Have it in your portfolio. Use it as the basis for the write-up of incidences. Use it in discussions with parents where they're concerned about physical contact and you wish to talk about the conditions under which you're working and how it works in that setting. Again, there will be a Dropbox collection of resources made available with a copy of Reg 38 in there. If you want to find it, you're only three clicks away. SLPWA, which stands for State Law Publishing WA, Regulation 38. I think you'll find it in two links. It's very simple. What does it say? A member of staff of a government school may, in the performance of that person's function, take such action, including physical contact with a student or a student's property, as is reasonable to A, manage or care for the student, B, maintain or re-establish order, or C, prevent or restrain a person from placing at risk the safety of any person or the damage of any property. Now that talks about legal parameters about where we sit. Now, is that helpful at this point? Well, let's have a look at our lineage here. It's helpful, section 257 we work with in the law. Reg 38. It's helpful to know, in the context of our courts, we can take such action, including physical contact with a student, to prevent or restrain a person from placing at risk the safety of any person. That's specifically what we're referring to in this course. So that's where it fits into the regulation and act. Now, is that helpful? It is to a degree, but it doesn't provide us detail. We are still looking for detail. Let's fill out the next layer, which is the Department of Education. Now, Department of Education is the next thing. The Department of Education, a directorate within the Department of Education, standards and integrity. Clearly, they field a lot of complaints and issues through a year, probably upwards of about 20,000. Standards and integrity is, as a body, oversees the management of our schools and how things work. An advice bulletin that they put out was indeed this one here called Physical Contact with Students Guidance. Now, why was this put out? Well, it's been put out year on year on year for at least 15 years that I know of. So this guidance has had a number of forms over at least a decade and a half. Now, it's guidance that's put out that supports what's appropriate, what's reasonable, what's proportionate, and what's necessary. Good thing about this one, it's about a 5-page document. And it provides you with the detail. It provides you with the grade. It looks to fill the blanks between the blanks. It's got some great information in there. How would we get it? Well, you would get it by accessing the policies link on ICON, and you simply do a search for Physical Contact with Students Guidance. You will certainly get web pages. You may indeed get a downloadable PDF. I'm not so sure. I've been out of the system for more than 12 months. I'm not sure on the frame of that. It might be possible for you to download a copy of it. Very briefly, though, I'm going to talk about some of the key things that are in there, because I can simply stop and say, oh, this is where you find it, and move on. It is something worth exploring. And if you've got a little I don't wish to overload the cognitive side of things, but if you've got a little to-do list at the side, having a copy of this in your portfolio would be not only impressive, but helpful. If you've got the context of a parent that's in grief about their young person, they're concerned about their young person, and physical contact may be a part of that work, and they're concerned about what that could be, talk this through with a parent. I mean, there's some very powerful things that can be done in this space. Okay, let's have a look at some of the details within it. It's a 5-page document. I've cherry-picked a couple of things that are for consideration. So, opening statement. Schools are encouraged to develop an ethos and environment where physical contact to manage student behaviour is not necessary. It's a good defining statement. However, at times a situation may arise where physical contact or physical restraint is needed in order to ensure a safe school environment. A great statement of common sense. There are contexts where the supports you provide around safety might acknowledge that. Three things to take into consideration here. Take into consideration the environment, reasonably foreseeable risks, and culture, age, maturity, personal history, understanding, developmental capacity of the student. Absolutely. And including any care plans that are in place. These things must be individualised. Next, different cultures may have different attitudes and traditions surrounding the concept of appropriate physical contact. Yes, you are in that space. You are in a space where there is a range of, you have cultural diversity, and you have got a range of young people that come from a range of environments where that's something that does need to be appreciated in the setting, and what does it mean? It's important that school procedures account for and staff appreciate culturally specific expectations so that insult or unnecessary confrontation can be avoided. We don't wish that our supports that we provide for safety to generate a second order problem. We don't want to make it worse. So clearly we want to be mindful of what that means. Students identified as being aggressive due to fear, trauma, or neurological disorders and or mental health issues, well, there's an acknowledgement that they need to be supported and responded to in ways that recognise their needs and reduce the likelihood of adverse behaviour. In other words, what can we do to prevent? What does support around that? Now, the two examples that people shared, I think the young person may have been almost in that space, but you demonstrated great care in terms of what those supports were, in terms of evacuating students to provide space for the safe engagement with that young person. Then we do address a couple of very, very much Pandora box type questions. This one here. Now, this is straight out of the guidance, and it's the heading. Can or should staff intervene when students are engaged in physical altercation with each other? It's a very interesting question. None of this represents any ad-libbing on my behalf. It's a straight cut and paste from the document. Let's see what it says. Members of staff have a responsibility to minimise the risk of harm to another and to intervene in situations where students may be at risk of harm. That's a given around duty of care. This does not mean that staff are required to put themselves in a situation where they are at risk, only that they take prompt and appropriate action, and that this prompt and appropriate action may involve physical contact. It all comes down to the context. It may be reasonable for staff not to use physical intervention in a situation involving several students or a physically larger student where staff believe that doing so would increase the likelihood of injury to themselves. So that's clearly a consideration we'll take into that place. In such cases, staff members should guide other students away from danger, seek immediate help from staff, or in extreme cases, the police. A great thing about this document is it provides a reasonable plan for the approach of student fights in the context of that document. So if you're ever thinking, what should I reasonably do? It says very specifically in that document. And it is worthy of a school-based conversation. It is worthy of a comparison of what is it that we're doing. It is worthy of a consideration about what future plan might look like. What about physical intervention to maintain or re-establish order or to restrain the person? They're both opposite ends of the scale in terms of that particular question they're asking here. But I thought there were some prints here that's important to talk about. Staff may engage in physical contact if all non-physical interventions have been exhausted or are impractical. And a student is attacking another student or adult, posing an immediate danger to themselves or others, or damaging property. I think two of those three are very clear. Which one might be the one that I might consider to be rather unclear? Sometimes the danger to themselves is unclear. I think the property one's interesting.
It could be a pencil or a desk.
Because it's like the school's laptop. Okay. And I was making physical contact about the school's laptop to disarm or to take away, or am I no, I'm not going to do that. Now, is it the property that's the case there? Is it a pencil? Mm. Do we restrain on the basis of the pencil?
Or a window, because
people are. Exactly. Yeah. There's so many variables around that it does come down to what's important decision making. Key one underneath, staff are to use physical contact only as a last resort and not to ensure compliance or in response to verbal threats. The good thing is that there is clarity within that document where it makes clear what appropriate culture is. Some things that I'm not referring to here, but I'm going to talk to this slide here. They talk about in that documentation acceptable practice, they talk about unacceptable practice, and then they talk about prohibited practice. Prohibited practice is the same stuff that would occur in the teacher's registration around some of those behaviours. Now, we don't really need to use our imaginations too much to think about certainly what may be prohibited. It's very, very, very clear. But about acceptable and unacceptable.